Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator John Crozy from Calumet Schools. He is very helpful and understands that not everyone thinks the same way. His lessons make sense, and he really takes time to introduce topics and make certain students understand them fully. He is not only great at his job, but he always has a contagious positive attitude and is always motivating students to never give up, even when facing something as difficult as college calculus. If you know an amazing educator like Mr. Crozy, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome to segment two of Copper Country Today on this Sunday morning. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation, and you can learn more about them at phfgive.org. Some dramatic and exciting things are happening and are about to happen in Calumet. There's a meeting coming up this Thursday night that is going to address some of this, and I thought I would invite in Jeff Ratcliffe from the Keweenaw Economic Development Alliance. He's one of the people who's involved in this project to try to spruce the village up, try to save some of the classic buildings there, try to get rid of some of the buildings that can't be saved. A lot going on. Jeff Ratcliffe, thank you for coming in.
I'm glad to be here.
This is a project that's been long overdue, I think, for years. Friends of mine have visited the area. They've gone to Calumet and they've said, wow, all those wonderful old buildings in Calumet, why isn't somebody doing something about them? And I say, first of all, it's very expensive to rehab old buildings. Secondly, you got to have something to do with the buildings once they're rehabbed. What has finally started to push this effort forward?
Well, we brought a bunch of stakeholders together 6, maybe 7 years ago now, just to start focusing in on the issue of the deterioration in Calumet and how we needed to move forward. And so part of it was just getting everybody focused on it. And the outcome of that, of our initial meeting, was the politics at the village at the time were not something we were going to be able to change overnight, because it was people and personalities and issues. But the buildings we could start working on. And the key element there was, and it became our mantra, which was, you know, bringing back Calumet one building at a time. You know, because everybody initially looked at it and said, the problem is so big, how do we, you know, it was the proverbial elephant. So
yeah,
it's one bite at a time.
And yeah, that's block after block correct. After block so, of buildings so, that were in I think, a lot tougher shape than I think a lot of people even thought.
Well, their historic district commission had been keeping an inventory. So that was one of the first things we did, was update that inventory and get everybody to understand where the most critical buildings were. So if there were opportunities, you know, how to do that. And a lot of it, the buildings that were in bad shape were privately owned, and they were, nobody was, the owners weren't doing anything. So one of our key partners became the Houghton County Land Bank, because when buildings go up for foreclosure, the land bank has that opportunity to, before they go to auction, to be able to acquire them. So we brought the land bank chair to the table. It was county treasurer, and worked with them very closely, so that when those properties, especially in the downtown, these old sandstone buildings and even some of the, you know, wood frame, when they came up, we could work with them to acquire them and get them cleaned out and get them stabilized if that was feasible. Because the goal was to not lose any more of the historic fabric in the downtown. That's what gave and gives Calumet its character in any of our downtowns up here. These are old
sure.
mining towns. So
sure.
It became a focus. And once we got everybody focused, then it also, at about the same time, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation's community revitalization program became usable for small communities. Before, it had a very limited grant amount. It was only like 20% that it would fund, and it had been used in southeast, southwest Michigan for very large, you know, conversions of old massive warehouses and things into residential. So there were economies of scale and the gaps in
sure.
rehabbing them weren't as big. But through a lot of advocacy by a lot of us in our small communities, they changed the rules on that, and that created a new financing tool. Because yes, rehabbing these old buildings in downtowns, it doesn't make any financial sense just based on debt and equity. There's a gap.
No, anybody who's in the building business understands that you could go in and tear down a lot of these buildings and put up new structures for a lot less money than you can go in and rehab these historic structures and bring them back to the glory that they once had. Yep. It's financially, this is not a wise thing to do.
Correct.
In terms of the building itself.
Correct.
Now, in terms of the effect on the community, the long-term effect financially, it makes more sense if you look at it as an overall project. But for an individual owner, that's tough to justify.
Correct. So again, the changes, again, bringing people together, changes in state policies at the State Economic Development Corporation and their funding programs, it gave us an opportunity to start, promoting and working with, and they tend to be non, what's happened is they tend to be non-traditional developers. That's real estate development isn't what they've been doing. These are some of them have been small business, and a lot of them are small business people. We also got fortunate at that in the early stages of our efforts of having a company that was a historic masonry restoration contractor out of Denver that had family connections here that wanted to take a stake in the community. And the owner loved Calumet, and so they acquired two of probably the worst buildings early on and got those buildings stabilized.
If you see buildings like that and you are in the business, there is this pull. And I grew up in the building business. Builders in my family, my grandfather owned a retail lumber yard I worked at for years when I was growing up. You look at a building like that and you just want to put your arms around it and hug it and bring it back to what it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, because you know that building had such great character and it hurts.
Yeah. So we had a second gentleman who had gone to school here, had started a family up here, had left the area, went out, started a business, and ended up coming back, loved the area, had come up here, had been vacationing, and it indicated he'd never spent any time in Calumet when he was living here previously. But when he started vacationing, he fell in love with Calumet, and again, he was going to be selling his business, and he wanted to put down a stake in Calumet and had a vision for being part of that, bringing it back. And he has acquired a number of buildings and is rehabbing and stabilizing. And so we're working very closely with him on that. And it's been these little sparks. 104 Fifth Street, that was damaged in the fire 2 years ago. That one is under contract and funding is being finalized on that. So we're going to get that one completely rehabbed. We've got another building down in the 300 block that's in the process of it's getting its funding, an pre-application for funding reviewed. Again, it will restore that building. It'll bring back a facade on that was completely done away with by the previous owner, and it'll be converted back into its original shop house type configuration of a shop space on the ground floor and two middle market rental units on the upper floor. So it's been slow, steady steps, engagement, having Leah Polzin on the ground up there, when she encounters folks and she sends them my way and I can start working with them on the packaging for projects. So it's taken that. I mean, it's been a challenge. It's a slow process, but
as you said, one building at a time, basically, and there are a lot of them involved here. Jeff Radcliffe from KEDA is my guest. We're talking about the effort to reclaim, restore, rehab a lot of the historic buildings in Calumet. But some buildings you can't. Some are too far gone. Some are perhaps to the point where they can't be rehabbed for modern use. How do you determine whether a building is worth saving or whether you just need to tear it down?
Well, through a lot of discussions with folks on our team, running out of options. I mean, time ultimately is the deciding factor. We have one building property up there. It was Sullivan's Livery. It's an original building. It's an old barn. It's an old livery stable. And there was then a subsequent addition, a one-story addition to it. That addition collapsed. It has been collapsing over the last 4 or 5 years, and this last winter the walls were pushing out on that collapsed portion, and the village had to push it into the foundations, and the barn, while it's really cool, you get in up into the upper part of it, and it's big 12 by 12 hand hewn beams, but the one side of that structure is deteriorated past saving. And that's, yeah. We'd hope we could try to find somebody, and we did, thought we may have found somebody, but when they looked at it very closely and they had the wherewithal to make the determination, it just was too far gone. You know, we've got another big building up there that's, again, this is another land bank, own parcel. It's the back portions of it are collapsing already. The roof has been gone for a while, and so there's a lot of water damage. People had stripped all of the interior architectural features out of it, the floors and millwork and taken off the original facade. And so it's left these, you know, we looked at it, we said, do we even have a building shell, because part of it's masonry, but when you get right in there, it's just, plus there's an apartment building next to it. And the land bank board rightly, I think, said, now we got to get this down, the safety issue, especially after the fire up there. We've got another pile of rubble that we're going to address. It was an old church. It's on 7th Street that, you know, some unfortunate decisions by people in terms of taking responsibility for that, but we're now getting that clean. We're going to get that cleaned up.
Well, and I think there's there's kind of a romantic concept to going to an old building, buying it, and fixing it up, and it looks appealing. And over the last 20 to 30 years, there have been on television, you know, here's how you rehab, here's how you flip properties, here you do a little bit of work and it becomes very, very valuable. And people, I think, sometimes step up and they make purchases of some of these old facilities before they really learn what's involved. And that, I think, is one of the things that winds up putting these things up for foreclosure and in the land bank, because all of a sudden you've bought the building for $20,000. It's going to be worth $80,000 when you're done. It's going to cost you $250,000 to get there. You don't have $250,000. You just give up and walk away.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the buildings that we've seen in again, the land bank's inventory of buildings or properties that are going to be demolished in the next year are properties that I'm not sure if they fit that.
Okay.
We certainly have had, I can certainly say that the people certainly, there are a couple of them people got from auction. And who knows why they did. I'm not even sure it had anything to do with fixing them up. But, you know, they let them go. They don't hold them too long. They get whatever they can or do whatever they're going to do out of it, and then they let them go. But there's properties where the owners died and there were no heirs.
Okay.
And those come in. You know, there's a number of things. I think out of the ones that more recently we had at least one that had been picked up by somebody out of state, with the intent of rehabbing it, but she was down in Florida and just never,
that trick never worked.
Came up to do it. But again, we're making progress. Just again, working with our team, and you know, the land bank has been a huge partner for the village of Calumet in that. And again, one of the things we're always looking out for with these buildings that come up through foreclosure is, you know, can they be brought back? Are they, is there a good frame inside? Because, you know, these buildings were built out of stout materials.
Good bones is the term that comes up a lot.
Brick or old growth timber. And, you know, if they haven't, if the roof's been able to be maintained or it hasn't leaked yet, then, you know, they're dry inside. They may have been abused inside over the years by the tenants or just, you know, aged. They're obsolete, but they're, you know, again, it's now getting them cleaned out. It's getting them, you know, maybe doing some pre-demolition or pre-development demolition work on the interior so that they're more attractive for a local small scale or non-traditional developer to get into.
Yeah, and once you get into it, everything then has to come up to modern code.
Correct.
So you're talking about complete replumbing. You're talking about complete rewiring. You're talking about bathrooms that probably have to be rebuilt because they didn't build bathrooms to ADA specifications 100 years ago. You've got to have wide doorways and stalls and things of that nature. So there's a ton of work that goes into bringing these up to modern specifications.
There is. But the good thing is the Michigan Economic Development Corporation has a great program with the Community Revitalization Program. And the number, it helps make the numbers work. It does make the numbers work for a developer. And the MEDC has indicated, you know, they're putting this forward because they want to see these buildings rehabbed in our traditional downtowns. And they also want to encourage and incentivize developers to be able to still get a fair return out of that. So they're not, you know, it's a, they're, the money is there. It's up to 50% of the eligible cost and with a maximum of $1.5 million. And for the projects we've been looking at, that those parameters work perfectly.
Yeah, for relatively small buildings, that does work in that case. You mentioned the fire a couple of times. Obviously, three historic buildings wiped from the face of the earth. What happens to that site?
Well, we're working through the processes and the motions towards redevelopment of that. We have to address ownership and things and planning. We're looking towards. Again, one of the things we needed to do is make sure that the one building that survived but was damaged was stabilized, and we worked on that, got that done, and are now working with a new owner to get that. And the next steps will be working on the acquisition and finding a developer for the fire site. It's a great site. It's been cleaned up. The Michigan Department of Energy, Great Lakes and Eagle.
They call it Eagle. I still call it Eagle because it spells Eagle. It doesn't spell
Great
Eagle.
Great Lakes and Energy. Along with the EPA. So Eagle and EPA did a great job getting in there, getting that cleaned up and getting the site assessed. There's been an environmental assessment being done on it. Again, it was an old site, and they did find some old dry cleaning tanks at the corner of one of the buildings.
Oh, wonderful.
And so those have been pulled, and I think they've removed some contaminated soils on the site. So that's the site has been, and they rubbleized most of the foundations except for along the streets. One of our goals will be to remove the rest of the foundations just to get the site cleaned up and to install some new water, sewer, and storm sewer stubs to the site. So for a future developer, it'll be.
Be
ready
to go.
That infrastructure will be ready to go.
Ready to go for that. So. Now, it's all well and good to take all of these buildings and put our arms around them and love them and bring them back. But once they come back, what do you do with them?
Well, the one thing that Leah and I have noticed and experienced from the time we both started working on this together, and we both kind of started in the job about the same time, is that if there is a viable commercial space there, there's somebody that wants to be there. The one thing that many folks not in and around that area don't seem to realize, there is a very vibrant economy in and around Calumet.
A lot of very, very small businesses, individual startups, well, in many cases, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of small businesses starting in the downtown. But again, we've always had people looking for space in downtown Calumet. Again, you've got a third of the county's population within the Calumet market area. You've got over a third of the Keweenaw's base economy jobs in and around Calumet. You've got a hospital. You've got a very large school system there. I mean, there's an economy. There's a very vibrant economy there.
Well, and with Calumet Electronics expanding the way that it is, I'm assuming that maybe creates at least a little bit of a demand for housing.
Well, absolutely. You got Calumet Electronics. You've had REL that has been expanding. You've got Mohawk Technologies. You've got Royal Inc. that's up there. You know, there's a number of Calumet Machine is there. I mean, there is a base economy there in and around Calumet, and those companies are all healthy and in many cases are growing.
Talking with Jeff Ratcliffe from KEDA, we're talking about the move afoot to try to lift up some of these structures in Calumet, get rid of the ones that we can't lift up. There is a meeting coming up Thursday night. It's at 6 o'clock at the Keweenaw Heritage Center at St. Anne's Church. And this is going to be part of this process, this meeting?
The goal of this meeting, it's Lee and I had started this. We held a couple of them pre-pandemic on an annual basis, which is really, it was just bring people together and keep people up to date on this effort that we had started. And, you know, the pandemic put a two-year hiatus on everybody's
pretty
lives.
Much everything.
And so we're regrouping, and this is it's a good time. I mean, it has been 2 years, and there's been a lot of things that have happened in that time. So this is really a continuation of that effort to bring the key stakeholders in and have them provide some updates to the assembled community and take questions and thoughts and you know, again, just reconnect with everybody on the efforts that are ongoing in Calumet.
Yeah, that'll start at 6 o'clock this Thursday at the Keweenaw Heritage Center. And my understanding is a little live music, actually, to start it, and kind of a social period, and then some presentations beginning around 6:30 or so. So if you're interested in what's going on with the Historic District in Calumet and this effort, certainly you are encouraged to attend, and we have the details about it posted on our community calendar at QNRReport.com. So that's coming up. I know, too, that there are opportunities for people to invest in this effort. I've talked with Leopoldsian about this, that little groups of investors are being put together to say, okay, we're going to raise money, go in and save this building, and maybe not in a matter of looking at a huge return coming from it, but are there opportunities for small investors, people who love the community, to get involved in this?
Well, I think there's always potential. There's always those opportunities. I think the where we are right now is we have small non-traditional developers that are coming forward. But again, if there are folks that are looking, they want to make an investment, I think we can pair them up. I think the best opportunity at this point may be to be able to pair them up with somebody that's going to take
okay.
it on if needed.
But okay. How many buildings do you think by the time that this is done will be freshened up? What's on your list? He's counting in his head.
Yep.
He's counting very high in his head.
Well, I've just got to kind of walk down through the list. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, I would easily a dozen, properties.
Do you have a timetable in mind, or is this something that's just going to take as long as it takes?
It takes what it takes. So, it's one building at a time.
If there are people who might be willing to get involved in this, and maybe there are investors listening who are thinking, gee, if other buildings are going to be picked up, maybe it's an opportunity now for me to go in and do a little rehab and make an investment myself. What's the best way for them to find out what's going on and how they can get involved?
Just reach out to me.
At Keweenaw Economic Development Alliance?
You can contact me by email at jeff@kedabiz.com, kedabiz.com. Contact information is also on our website, which is kedabiz. Or you can call our office at 906-482-6817.
Well, it's exciting to see what's going on, Jeff. And thank you for the update. And again, the meeting is coming up this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Check details on our calendar, and we'll try to keep folks posted as to what's happening. Jeff Ratcliffe, thank you for coming in.
Todd, thank you for the opportunity.